been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
Well, a weekly check of gasoline prices finds the national average has fallen almost 6 cents a gallon in the past week. It's down to 2.58, 23 cents lower than last year at this time.
Patrick DeHaan of GasBuddy.com tells us there's a wide spread of $1.84 between the nation's highest and the nation's lowest price for gasoline.
Across the country, most of the nation's states saw average prices decline in the last week. The lowest average, Louisiana at $2.21 per gallon, followed by Mississippi at $2.23 and Oklahoma at $2.24. Meanwhile, the nation's priciest gasoline still could be found in the West Coast. California leads the nation with an average of $4.05 per gallon, followed by Hawaii at $3.65 per gallon and Washington State at $3.41 per gallon.
I'm John Clemens.
The United States Air Force's X-37B space plane is on the ground in Florida after a two-year orbital flight. That's according to reports that say the unmanned plane touched down shortly before 4 a.m. Sunday after 780 days orbiting the Earth, the Air Force having deployed that plane in 2017. And Tiger Woods winning the Zozo Championship in Japan over the weekend. It's his 82nd victory on the PGA Tour, which ties in with Sam Snead for most PGA Tour wins all time. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Okay, our local weather at HuntertonChamberRadio.com for Flemington and the surrounding area, at least so far. Today's sunny with a high near 65. Patchy drizzle tonight, slight chance of rain later on today. Tuesday, slight chance of drizzle or light rain, mainly during the day. Cloudy on the overnight, high near, lows will be in the 50s. Wednesday, a slight chance of drizzle or light rain between 9 and 3. Then showers after 3 p.m. Patchy fog in the morning. Otherwise, highs will be close to 70. No slight chance of showers overnight on Wednesday night. Again into Thursday, mainly after 9 a.m. Showers on Thursday, Friday, and into Friday night. Clearing up for the weekend, though. Saturday looks like sunny, high in the mid-50s. And lows could get down into the 30s. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Table at WHCRDB, getting here together on most Mondays. I had to go rewind last week. I had an emergency, but we're back live. and getting together, figure out, well, we got the food holiday season coming up soon, another few weeks, like Thanksgiving and Christmas, New Year's, get-togethers, gatherings, all kinds of things to plan. But in between, of course, this long stretch between the end of summer and the fall holidays, of course, we had Oktoberfest, which was nice, and Halloween this week. That's become not just for kids anymore, apparently. You know, this weekend was kind of a holiday party weekend. You could tell by the amount of catering orders going out. You can always tell when there's things going on. And people, it's kind of like a, it's become kind of like a mini New Year's Eve, I think, for adults. Chance to dress up and, I guess, be a kid again. Maybe that's what we want. But anyway, it's a, they say it's a long stretch from the end of summer until the winter holidays. So I think this midpoint here works out pretty well. So the little ones will be out trick-or-treating and getting all their candy and or other things, apples. I know if you give fruit, you kind of frowned upon. But trick-or-treat, you know, it's become difficult because of food sensitivities and allergies, especially the nut allergy, obviously a big issue. It's as providers for the treats, sometimes you know, we're in kind of a quandary. I know oftentimes we'll do something like pretzels and or even, I mean, it does not always have to be candy, I guess. But, you know, so as parents, you have to monitor the consumption, right? Make sure they're not overdosing on the sugar. But there are plenty of things out there. And again, to be safe, I guess you avoid the peanuts so nobody gets anything by mistake. And things are individually wrapped. It's pretty safe. Instruct, of course, the little ones not to consume anything that's not in a wrapper or looks like it's been tampered with. It's too bad we have to put all these warnings on such a nice little holiday. But anyway, dress up, enjoy it, supervise it well, and have fun. So now, fitting food holidays, of course, today is National Chocolate Day. There are many chocolate holidays throughout the year with chocolate-covered raisins and things, and there's probably maybe four or five or six of them, right? But today is National Chocolate Day, and chocolate, of course, one of our favorite confections. Started, of course, in the Americas, although it is produced in other areas, Africa, South Africa, maybe, mainly. You have to have the climate right. Again, you know, like our wine grapes grow in certain temperate zones, and then coffee and chocolate, of course, are you need a little bit, you need more degree days out there. And chocolate started as a beverage, not unlike coffee. And it is a fermented product, which helps explain, I think, anything that really tastes good is usually ends up being fermented, right? Think of all the neat things that we like. If you talk, some people refer to it as umami, that taste. But to me, a lot of things that are great foods are fermented. There's a long process involved with the chocolate. And it is very bitter when it starts out. And, of course, the addition of sugar to it made it a little bit more palatable. It made its way to Europe. And then to bring it, it was expensive also. I mean, you think of the process that's used, the chocolatiers, it's very scientific. By the time you get the cocoa mass and you temper it, and sometimes, you know, how much cocoa butter is in there, do you separate that to get white chocolate? There's a process with alkali, the Dutch process that gives us the cocoa powder that doesn't have any cocoa butter in it, but you just have the chocolate flavor. And then, of course, the white chocolate, people say, well, it's not really chocolate because it doesn't really doesn't have that depth of flavor. But they're all useful. But when you read about what you have to go through. These little chocolate shops, especially in the cities where they specialize in that, really, really makes you wonder. It's you know, it's one of those things. You can see why it was only for the well-to-do. And, of course, mixing it with dairy product is what helped bring it to the masses. So it's sweetened and then mixed with milk, and now we've, you know, kind of cut the amount of chocolate that you have to use and became an everyday treat. Milk chocolate, of course, is all, you know, our candy bars and chocolate bars and things like that. But I know in recent years I've really found a liking for the dark chocolates and with a high percentage of cacao. And a lot of the fine chocolates now will tell you the percentage. The higher the percent of cacao, of course, the more intense the flavor. It can be a little more bitter. To me, it's almost, tasting chocolate is almost like tasting red wine. And if you let it linger on your palate, and it's one of these, you know, chocolates, you don't need that much. That's the beauty of it. If you have dark chocolate, you know, one of those little squares is plenty, whereas milk chocolate, you know, you're going to eat a whole candy bar. It's like inexpensive cheese. You eat a lot of it, but you have a very, very fine cheese. You only need a couple of bites and get the full, intense flavor. But I've found that and chocolate does match pretty well with red wine. Port, of course, is always good with desserts, but you know, probably a late harvest Zinfandel, Shiraz, Australian Shiraz, fruit forward wines. Oftentimes, at the end of a meal, if you've had red wine, you would hope that it would carry into a chocolate course. My favorite, though, with matching a beverage with chocolate is a single malt Scotch. And when you think of it, not the real peaty ones or smoky that a lot of people say that has a medicinal taste to it. I mean, the malt is formed using peat as the fuel, but certain regions of Scotland use a little bit less of that, less of the smoke effect. What I look for in a single malt, and I tell people, if you're not really a fan of Scotch, you start with a Scotch that's been double-aged, meaning not just in the used oak barrels, but in a port wine barrel or a sherry cask. Just tried one Caribbean cask. They use old rum casks. Scots are very thrifty. They always use used casks to age the whiskey in. Some houses do use what they call virgin wood, not having been used before. But the favorite is, of course, the bourbon casks that come from America. We have a rule that you can only use them, you know, to one time or two times, three times, depending. And then if they don't rechar them, they take them apart and ship them over to Scotland. But the wine casks really put a nice finish to it. And you'll see that now, cocktails or even beer, people are trying to age in some of these old wine casks. And it picks up the characteristics of the product that was in it before. So with the with chocolate, with the nice dark chocolate, and also, of course, some almonds, a great, great match with chocolate. A single malt Scotch at Balvenie Doublewood or Quinta Ruban by Glenmorangie, any of those kinds of aged, double-aged Scotches would go very well with chocolate. And again, you're not drinking a lot. You're having a little bit, and you have a little taste, and because of the vanillin that comes out from the barrel aging and the nuances of the wine really complement the bitterness of the chocolate. You almost get some of the, was even a good bourbon made with corn, and so, and the sweetness comes through. Even though there's no sugar in these beverages, the effect of the oak aging gives it the vanilla flavor, which is complementary to the chocolate, and it smoothens it out, and it almost comes off as being sweet. Again, there's no sugar in it, but it does seem like it's sweet. We've got a break for a couple of messages here. We'll look further into chocolate, and then you know, a few simple recipes, nothing over the top, but the ways to use the chocolatery, and it could be a lot of times you'll see semi-sweet or bittersweet, which are similar. Even semi-sweet chocolate chips are nice because they melt easily. But definitely the better grade of chocolate that you use in your recipes, the better they're going to taste. So we'll be back at the table in a couple of minutes. Chef Bill.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Okay, we're back at Chef Bill's table, WHCRDB, and we're talking about chocolate. So, big chocolate producer, of course, Hershey's, Milton Hershey. Happened to catch a show one time where they were featuring some of the early large food companies, how they got their start. Hershey was pretty unique at the time. European company got the Swiss, I think Nestle, the other big one. They were making their milk chocolate, and they would use non-fat dry milk, the milk solids. Whereas when you make your butter, you've got your butter fat or your cream, and then you've got the whey that's left, W-H-E-Y, and there's no fat in it, but there's still plenty of protein. And they were using the non-fat milk to make milk chocolate. And Milton Hershey said, well, you know, he's out in Pennsylvania. He'd been in the caramel business and sold that, and he wanted to make chocolate and built the whole world out there. Hershey Park, still a big attraction, but he actually built the city for housing for his workers. Wasn't even quite sure of his process. I know he went through a few chemists. He wanted to use fresh milk and not powdered milk because there were so many dairy farms there. He said, I'm going to help the local farmers. I can get the milk. It's right here. And everything would be great. So he was building everything, built the city, built the factory, and then finally at the last minute, I guess they figured out the formula and went on from there. That entrepreneurial spirit, boy, just jumping in both feet, right? And say, well, I know I'm going to figure this out. I don't know when, but meantime, we'll do everything we can. So, of course, Hershey and different brands. You got Mars. They got M&M's. It was big during the rations during the war. I remember my father having some little the sea rations that were in the cans, and the there was one that was a small can with a few biscuits in there. Now, they wouldn't even call them cookies. They didn't want to make them too sweet, but and there was a little thing of chocolate. It's kind of like a little energy snack for the soldiers. And that happened in, you know, our country. Many companies, of course, you know, the war effort, tooling up for that, just launched them into the big time with supplying our soldiers. So we've got, you know, our chocolate and milk chocolate again, you know, easy to use in recipes, but we like to use at least a semi-sweet or dark chocolate. And you have to be careful melting it. You know, some recipes, I'll put it in the microwave. I still like the double boiler. Double boiler, meaning you've got a simmering water bath, and over top of that you put a bowl or a container that's not really touching the water, just the steam is kind of gently heating it. And resist the urge to stir chocolate too much. You can make it kind of clump up there, so just take it easy. I still like a wooden spoon. I don't really like a whisk. You get too much air in there. So anyway, so melting chocolate for recipes, double boiler, best way to go. Or when you're making something simple like a ganache, you have your chopped chocolate. Love ganache. It's so versatile and so easy to make. You've got your you heat the cream. So you've got so proportions can vary. So I'll give you one here. 2 cups of heavy cream and 21 ounces of chocolate. Can be semi-sweet, bittersweet. You want it in small pieces. And then this will handle up to 1/4 cup of some kind of flavoring. Not vanilla extract, mind you, but amaretto is the almond. Cointreau or triple sec is the orange. You could use coffee. I always like a little espresso or strong coffee with the chocolate. But any of these fruits would be classic with flavoring. Although, what I've done before, and what happens, you'll see sometimes now that confectioners will use some heat, a little bit of chili with the chocolate. Now, when you think of a mole, Mexican mole, it's that very complex sauce. It has chocolate in it, but it's got bitter. It's not, you don't use your milk chocolate in that. But the heat actually intensifies the chocolate flavor. So what I've done, you'll see sometimes, say, brownies that have cayenne pepper in it. And that's okay. It gives you some heat. But I find the chipotles in adobo, the smoked dried jalapenos, are the key. They've got complex flavor. What I've done, say, with the a ganache like this, I would take one of those chili pods out of the adobos, and a little bit of the sauce is fine. Come in very small cans, by the way, so you're not risking a lot. And when you heat the cream for your ganache, let that chili steep in there for about 15 or 20 minutes. Then you can warm it back up again. Then I strain out that chili and use that cream to make a ganache. So you get a little bit of burn afterwards. It's not really hot up front, but you've got your chocolate, then the complex flavor of a dried smoked chili in there, and really intensifies the chocolate flavor. A nice combination of that. I used that, I did a five-nut tart one time, kind of like a pecan pie, but I used 5 different nuts in there, only because I had them. Right, a little bit of almonds, a little bit of pecans and walnuts. You could use crushed macadamias, and you make your custard with your corn syrup, and you have that nice, or even just a regular pecan pie. Bourbon, of course, works well in there, but the drizzle, the chocolate drizzle, was the ganache that was flavored with the chilies. And then, of course, a garnish was candied orange rind, orange peel. So that you've got that nice, the orange, which complements the chocolate very well, the nuts. I mean, it was kind of a all-in-one dessert there, all my favorite flavors going together. Ganache is, again, versatile product. You can use it as a glaze while it's still kind of warm. If you want to glaze a cake, of course, classic, take a chocolate cake or a flourless chocolate and then glaze it with the ganache. I've done it with Sicilian cassata, the pound cake with ricotta cheese filling in it. Or you can cool it off a little bit and it becomes kind of like a frosting. You can spread it. Not really a glaze that you're pouring over. You're spreading it. Or you can use it as a filling. When it's cooled off, you can whip it because it's cream. It's like chocolate whipped cream. You give it a little bit of volume, and it becomes a nice filling for a chocolate cake. So with the cake, you could use the ganache not only for a filling, but also for the outside of the cake. Very simple. It's only a couple of ingredients. And again, the better chocolate that you use, and you taste it if you need to add a little syrup or sugar to it if it's not sweet enough. But normally a good semi-sweet chocolate works fine for that. Love comes over. And of course the other thing, hot chocolate, right? It's winter time's coming. Great beverage. And originally, again, chocolate was like coffee and bitter. My sister came back from South America. She had a little metal pot and this wooden paddle, and they would just take the warm milk and kind of between you hold the paddle like a stick between your two palms and rubbing your palms back and forth, kind of turn the having your own little mixer there, and slowly just get the chocolate melted into the milk. So to sweeten it up, of course, that's what we do. And we have the envelopes that have usually they have the non-fat milk powder in it already. Sometimes they have marshmallows in there. I like the Spanish version of hot chocolate, or even Mexican also, but it's thickened. And usually it's used kind of as a dip for the churros, the little fried doughs there that you see now at all the fairs. But this chocolate, it's a beverage, but thickening it with a little bit of cornstarch as you're warming it up gives it some texture. So say you've got, 2 cups of milk, maybe a half a teaspoon of cornstarch, and 3 ounces of baking chocolate, which would be the unsweetened. And then you can adjust the amount of sugar you want in there. This would take a third to half a cup of superfine sugar. Or if you're just using regular chocolate, again, a cup of milk, you could use a couple of ounces, 2 ounces of chocolate, and a little bit of cornstarch. You want to start the cornstarch with the cold milk, dissolve everything in there, and then slowly warm it, and again, stir it not with a whisk. Don't whip it. Just a wooden spoon is for me the best, or a non-metal utensil. There's some good plastic ones out there that are heat. They'll take the higher heat, and just kind of slowly stir it and melt it together. And the cornstarch will help thicken it. So yes, you can then use it kind of as a dunk for whatever you'd like, or when you're drinking it, it just has a little more viscosity, a little better mouthfeel. So two simple things, ganache and hot chocolate. We've got some other things with chocolate here, like chocolate mousse and we could call it a chocolate pate, chocolate terrine. Pears this time of year also go very well with chocolate. We'll be back at the table after news break.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A statewide emergency declared in California by the governor, Gavin Newsom. Strong winds still fanning wildfires in both the northern and southern parts of that state. But in Northern California's wine country, the biggest fire by far is the Kincade Fire. It's now consumed over 55,000 acres. It's destroyed about 100 structures. The Tick Fire is burning north of L.A. It's destroyed at least 22 buildings.
We wanted to make sure we were doing it right, and so we were focused on delivering the outcome that we got.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo saying that the mission by special ops to kill the ISIS leader, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, was a well-guarded mission until it happened on Saturday night.
That's what the American people should be focused on. It's what President Trump and our team were focused on.
He spoke on Fox, and this is USA Radio News.
Ladies and gentlemen, listen carefully to the best offer you're going to get. One of the best assets on earth. Okay, so we all know we live in a world of political turmoil and financial deception that stretches from Wall Street to Europe to Beijing, which are all like bubbles searching for a pin right now. With one exception, gold and silver, which have held their value over history better than any other asset class on earth ever. So here's my irresistible offer to show you how committed I am to protecting your financial future. I've asked my sponsor, Swiss America, to virtually give you one of the most popular precious metal coins ever minted, below their cost for just $18.50 each, delivered while supplies last. You heard me right. This is an exclusive offer to my listeners by calling now 800-630-2158. Write it down, 800-630-2158. One of the most popular precious metal coins ever minted for $18.50, 800-630-2158, or go to SwissAmerica.com.
The stars. Okay, we're back at Chef Bill's table talking about chocolate, celebrating National Chocolate Day. Also with ganache, nice thing, once it's chilled down, you can scoop it with a small melon baller and make chocolate truffles. You have them chilled there, and again, whatever flavoring you like in there, and then you just roll them in cocoa powder. Simple. They look like little dark, bumpy truffles. And the nice thing with chocolate, of course, I guess with what, the M&Ms melt in your mouth, not in your hand. It's just that perfect thing that at skin temperature, it doesn't really melt once it hits the palate. There you go. That was the magic of those things, right? Plus, with the little hard candy shell around them, they wouldn't melt in your hand. So, chocolate mousse, and I guess you could make something, you know, as simple as folding chocolate into whipped cream and call it a mousse. There's chilled ones that call for gelatin. I have a favorite one, and it uses raw eggs. So you could use pasteurized eggs. So this goes back, I mean, years ago. I used to get eggs from an egg farmer, and I didn't have to worry about the salmonella as much. But now you can get pasteurized eggs, so that's fine. So this will make a fairly good size batch. Like, I guess everything I do, right? Working in a kitchen, we don't make anything small. So this one, and we used to use actually the semi-sweet chocolate chips, but you could use a good semi-sweet chocolate for this. So 24 ounces. You'll need 3 tablespoons of brandy, 2 tablespoons of espresso or strong coffee. The easiest way to do that is get instant espresso and add it to a little bit of hot water to the strength you want. But the coffee flavor definitely does complement the chocolate. So we need 6 eggs for this. We'll separate them to 6 yolks and 6 whites. Little pinch of cream of tartar because we're going to whip the egg whites, so we need that little bit of acid kind of fluffs them up better. And then a quart of cream that's going to be whipped. So you have your whipped cream, and we're not adding any sugar to that. We're using semi-sweet chocolate. This mousse is not really, really super sweet. If you like it sweeter, you could put a little bit of sugar into the cream when you're whipping it. But try it this way. You get just the good chocolate and brandy and coffee flavor. So we're going to melt the chocolate along with the brandy and the espresso over a double boiler. Again, stirring gently. Don't whisk it. Just let it get melted. And then we are going to add the egg yolks to this mixture. And again, so the egg yolks actually are getting tempered with the hot chocolate mixture. So it's going to help the, it's going to help stabilize the mousse. So you stir the egg yolks in there until they're fully incorporated. And then you'll take it off the heat. Meantime, we're going to whip the six egg whites with a pinch of cream of tartar until they're nice and fluffy. You've got your whipped cream, you have your egg whites, and then you have your chocolate mixture. So we've got three different textures here, and we've got to get them all together so they're homogeneous and looking good. I know I was in one kitchen, and the cook that was making it, he said, well, I like it kind of like, you know, not folded totally, so there's little pieces of chocolate, and some are just plain whipped cream, but that's it's really not a good mousse. I guess if you're scooping it, you can kind of get a little bit of everything, but better to fold it in. So we need to get the to lighten up the chocolate mixture with a little bit of the egg whites. And you're going to use a rubber spatula in a folding motion, so you're kind of scraping the bowl and bringing it around. You're kind of like, if you think you're drawing a circle with the spatula. And you don't want to take a whip and whisk it, but you'll take a little bit of the egg whites and lighten up that chocolate mixture. Then you can take that lightened chocolate mixture and put it into the rest of the egg whites. So you want to fold those till they're homogeneous, all looking the same color. And then the same thing with the whipped cream. Put a little bit of the whipped cream in there, lighten the mixture up, and then fold it into the rest of the whipped cream. At this point, what we used to do one restaurant, I would fill champagne saucers with the mousse and then freeze it. Or you could just put it in a container, pack it in the freezer, so then you can scoop it later. This is one that's best served out of the freezer. It's just like making your own ice cream. What's better than that, right? And you have full control of the ingredients. You don't need a machine. You still took your chocolate and your custard and lightened it up. Good chocolate mousse. And again, I use the brandy. If you want a different flavor in there, you could do that. Orange, again, would work. But try it this way, and you'll get a nice, simple, not too sweet chocolate mousse.
That's when I need them. That's when I need them.
A nice rice pudding. would work. I've done rice just cooking the rice in vanilla, sugar, and milk. Usually an arborio rice, so it's nice and starchy. The long grain is okay, but the arborio is better. But pear Belhaline with chocolate sauce, poaching your pears. You need to put them in a syrup. So say you've got, 4 to 6 pears, depending on the size. Bartlett pears are good. You need to peel them and core them, cut them in half. Juice of a lemon. And you need half cup of superfine sugar and a teaspoon of vanilla. And just a little bit of water, just enough to cover them. You want to just cook the pears till they're tender all the way through, and then let them cool in the syrup. You don't want them to get too mushy. And again, this can go over vanilla rice or ice cream. Make a simple chocolate sauce, 8 ounces of semi-sweet chocolate, half cup of espresso or strong coffee, half cup of sugar and a half cup of cream. Melt that all together and have a nice simple chocolate sauce for your poached pear. We've got a break for a couple of messages here, and we'll be back at the table.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you...
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
back at Chef Bill's table. I just realized earlier my mic had been off. I'm not sure for how long, but I apologize for that interruption. So a chocolate almond terrine, we're going to call this. Pâté terrine. Nice. Again, this is 16 servings. Although, if you really like chocolate, it might only make 8. This is for 16 thin slices. You can have a 9 by 5 inch loaf pan. Line it with wax paper and then brush a little soft butter on that. This will help you unmold the terrine later. So we've got 12 ounces of semi-sweet chocolate. And we're going to melt that. Again, you don't add any liquid to that, although you can. I mean, we're going to use a quarter cup of amaretto and a couple of teaspoons of almond extract. This is going to be with almonds in it. So you got to melt the chocolate. We're going to make a syrup with 1.5 cups of superfine sugar and 1/2 cup of water. You're going to boil that. Bring that to a boil just to dissolve the sugar. You don't have to cook it down like you're making candy. You're going to have 3 sticks of unsalted butter at room temperature. And we're going to add to that 2 3/4 cup of unsweetened cocoa. So you're going to whip the butter with the cocoa till it's all blended in there. We're going to have 2 tablespoons of cocoa powder set aside for later. So you need the 2 3/4 cup plus 2 tablespoons. We're going to have 3 egg yolks and 2 eggs. We're going to blend those together. And again, we have our amaretto or almond extract. We're going to need 2.5 cups of toasted sliced almonds or slivered almonds. Save 1/2 cup for a garnish. We use 2 cups in there. So melt the chocolate, make the syrup, and you're going to blend everything together with your 2 cups of toasted almonds and pack it into the loaf pan and chill it overnight. I'm going to get this thing to set up. And to serve it, you just invert the terrine onto the platter. If you want to warm it up a little bit with a warm, wet towel, you can just to loosen it up, but you don't want to melt the chocolate on the outside. You can use a knife to run around the edges of the pan. That's why you have the wax paper in there, but it should come right out. Peel off the paper, so you'll dust the top with cocoa powder, and you'll press the reserved almonds into the sides of the loaf. Of course, serve this up with whipped cream. You should get 16 slices, but again, if you're a chocolate lover, you might not get as many. But very rich, very dense, and say this, it's almost like your chocolate mousse, except when you're serving the cream on the side. I want a name when I lose. They call Alabama the Crimson Tide. Call me Deacon Blue. Deacon Blue. Again, National Chocolate Day. Let's enjoy chocolate any way we can. From a beverage to a dip to a nice treat. There's so many ways out there. Again, the percent of cacao. If you want to have fun, do a tasting sometime. Get one that's about maybe 45 to 50% cacao. The average for a lot of the chocolates, the everyday one's probably about 35%. But get one that's a little bit higher, towards 50%, and then go for maybe a 68, and then go up to like a 70 or above. And we've done this at the restaurant before. Just you get the little discs there, little cocoa nibs, and do a tasting. And same as tasting, you know, several wines or anything like that, you know, rinse a little water in between. And go from the least cacao to the heaviest. And again, you let the chocolate melt on your palate, on your tongue. I like to exhale with my mouth closed, exhale through my nose, it kind of brings these other flavors. So your olfactory nerve, your nose is 90% of your taste. So you're going to get certain things on your tongue, but the rest of it's all going to be in the aroma. And you just sit there and just try to pick out different flavors in there. Again, just like tasting a red wine with all the complexities between the fruit and the attributes from the oak aging, it all works together. But have fun with chocolate and cook with it. But when you're buying it, you can really be selective now. There's many forms out there, and dark chocolate a lot more available than it was maybe 20-25 years ago. So, but enjoy just a little bit of the good stuff, and so you don't have to eat a pound of the milk chocolate. And Chef Bill, we're going to sign off. Rewind's going to kick in soon, so we'll get together next week, and I guess in a couple of weeks we'll start looking for Thanksgiving, right? Chef Bill signing off.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Yeah.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A former deputy national security advisor is defying a congressional subpoena to show up and testify today behind closed doors before three House committees in the impeachment inquiry into President Trump. Charles Cooperman's lawyers say they want a judge to first rule on whether he has to show up and testify under that subpoena. Chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, the Democrat Adam Schiff, says,
I think we can infer from the White House opposition to Dr. Kupperman's testimony that they believe his testimony would be incriminating of the president.
A fast-moving wildfire in the hills of West Los Angeles in Southern California is growing, but the Tick Fire in Southern Cal is now 70% contained. The Kincade Fire in Northern California, well, it's now burned 66,000 acres in Sonoma County. It's minimally contained. This is USA Radio News.
I'm at the American Veterinary Medical Association annual convention in Washington, D.C. with Dr. Barbara Natterson Horowitz, evolutionary biologist and physician.
There's a form of fainting that happens when people get stressed because the excitement triggers a slowing of the heart. Why this happened didn't make sense. The heart shouldn't slow down. The heart should speed up when there's fear. But what I've learned by working with veterinarians and learning about how animal hearts work is that young animals, when they are scared, sometimes their heart rates get very, very low, and that causes them to be very still. And when wild animals become very still, it often makes them safer from predators. One possible hypothesis is that slowing of the heart rate in response to fear in our species is actually an evolutionary echo from our vertebrate ancestors, for whom the slowing of the heart was life-saving.
There's more valuable information at avma.org.
Demonstrators on both sides of the political aisle are greeting President Trump as he arrives in Chicago, his first visit to the Windy City since becoming president, and after making many critical remarks about Chicago, especially its crime rate. The president of the Chicago Fraternal Order of Police, Patrick Murray, says on Fox and Friends,
if I was in his shoes, I would have reached out to the president and sat down and talked to him about the problems that are in Chicago, and especially in high crime areas, yeah. And maybe sat down and came up with a strategy.
After President Trump called the city of Chicago the poster child of urban violence, he will be addressing a National Association of Police Chiefs this afternoon. President Trump says he may release certain parts of a video of the U.S. raid, which left ISIS leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi dead on Saturday night. The president making that remark while talking to some reporters as he was leaving for Chicago this morning. And this is USA Radio News.
Friends and family, I've told you about the great sleep I get with my MyPillow every night. Well, right now, you can get a great deal and extra safety. Because if you go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special, get their buy one, get one free offer on the MyPillow Premium Pillow. Your 60-day money-back guarantee goes all the way through March 1st, 2020. That's now through December 25th. When you go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special and use my promo code USA.
USA Radio's Wendy King has the top movies over the weekend.
Scary monsters and evil villains are tops at the box office this weekend, just in time for Halloween. The Joker stole back the number one spot in its fourth weekend of play as it crept closer to the $1 billion mark worldwide. It's now the seventh highest grossing R-rated movie of all time, bringing in $18.9 million this weekend. Close behind in second place, the Disney sequel Maleficent, Mistress of Evil, with $18.5 million. At number three, The Addams Family, with an estimated $11.7 million. Just behind that at number four, the comedy horror sequel Zombieland Double Tap at $11.6 million. Number five, the scary new movie called Countdown at $9 million. Number six, the cop drama Black and Blue, which brought in $8.3 million. Number seven is Gemini Man with Will Smith, bringing in $4 million. Climbing the charts to number eight, The Lighthouse brought in $3.1 million. And another new face in the top ten,